something that has, I don't know, I guess it's a bug of some kind. Actually, it's kind of got me down. So I've been a real big, deep cough. And so I'm sorry about that. And actually, Janet got a hold of something. I don't know whether she got a hold of some bad potato salad or whatever it was, but she came down with something. And she, not what I have, but some kind of intestinal thing. And so she's just barely walking over there. She's trying to do her thing over there as well. So you pray for her. I appreciate that. Did anybody need a worksheet? Just lift your hand up there. Didn't get a worksheet? Slip your hand up. We're in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And by the way, this isn't on our, hasn't been on our schedule, but we need to go ahead and get it on our schedule. September 14th is a Friday night. September 14th is a Friday night. And we have a special deal on tickets for a Revolution game again. It's $9, and that includes a $5 voucher for food. So it's $9 a person, so it's $4 for a ticket, and you get $5 worth of food. So we're going to do that on September 14th, so I would encourage you to if you want to be out, just have an evening out with the group. That'd be good. Luke chapter 23, verse number 50, if you will. Again, I apologize for the sound, but I think we'll be able to get through with this. Beginning with verse 50, of course, Christ has been crucified. And we talked about, we looked at his heart, saw a Savior's heart, and all that last week, and you know the denials of all these different people of who he was, even though he very very clearly showed who he was, and so he's passed. So he has passed on. And at verse 50, we come to this part with Joseph of Arimathea. It says, verse 50: Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. In other words, he was not in on having him crucified, even though he was one of the bunch that gave the authority or actually demanded the crucifixion from Pilate. He was not agreeable to it, didn't want it to happen. And it says, he was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So he was a religious man, but He knew the scriptures. He'd been brought up in, say, a religion that didn't really encourage the truth, but he was honest with himself. He was a just man. He was a good man. He was honest with himself. He went to the Word of God, and the Word of God was speaking to him, so he could see that it was hard because he'd been taught differently all his life, but he could see that Jesus was meeting the criteria for this kingdom, this Messiah. Verse 52. This man, Joseph, went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away with the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And the words seemed them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So let's pray, and we're talking about loyalty to our Lord. Loyalty to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the truth of that. Lord, without the resurrection, we are of most men all miserable. Boy, there is no life, and there's no resurrection. Lord, I thank you for that there is a resurrection. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us some thoughts here this evening. And Lord, may we be loyal to you even in the darkest hours. Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Pray that they'll be able to see, hear past my voice. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit to move in the hearts and do the work. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. This passage gives historical information, of course, and it helps to fill in the timeline during the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Also true to life, to Luke's style, this passage allows us to see into the hearts of the people who are involved. It's interesting that many of the main characters in the life of Jesus, the main characters in the account of Jesus, are not mentioned during this critical time. Most of them have scattered for their lives. And all of a sudden, it was some less prominent followers that seemed to have stepped up with others who faded into the scenery. Where's Peter? Where's John? Where's James? He's hanging on a tree. He's just died. Where are they? And Joseph of Arimathea steps up and says, I'm going to take the body. And you got some ladies there who are willing to step up and be known, be seen with him. It's interesting. These are the people who were on the sidelines. Let me give you number one here. Loyal at the end. And I put end in the quotes. Because the end, that's the way it appeared to the people who were being loyal. But we all know from hindsight this wasn't the end. But they didn't know that. I mean, yes, they had been told. But you read it right there that they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. Okay. But they were being loyal even before they remembered the words. Letter A, I want you to see the loyalty of the elite. E-L-I-T-E, the elite, loyal of the elite. Joseph, letter B, was loyal to Jesus even though he was now dead, and it appeared that what Jesus was attempting to do had failed and is over. Joseph of Arimathea was loyal to Jesus, even though it looked like what he was attempting to do, what he thought he was going to do, had failed. Now, I want you to see something here. If no one had claimed the body of Jesus, history tells us that the body would have most likely been tossed on a heap of rubble and trash, the dung heap, outside the city. And the vultures would have picked the bones clean. If no one had claimed the body, that's what would have happened. Now, Joseph was a man. Luke 23:50 says this. It's on your paper there. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. By the way, the words in bold in the scripture, those are ones that are unique to Luke. Again, they're in Luke, not in the other Gospels. He was a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Now think about who this was. He was a counselor. Number one, advisor, a member of the Sanhedrin. A member of the Sanhedrin. That was an assembly of Jewish leaders. Counselors, judges. They were the bigwigs in town. He had position in town. And the position of the Sanhedrin was they were against Jesus. But he was a good man. Number two, good. Did those things that were of benefit to others. Now, when it says being good, it does a benefit. That's just the general definition of the word good. But what it means is, he did that which was right. He did that which was good. He was not shady in things. He was not about to do what the rest of the Sanhedrin wanted to have done with Jesus. He was an honest man. He wasn't going to do that. Number three, he says he was just. That means fair. Fair. Seeks that which is truly right and equitable. And apparently Joseph could see that Jesus met the criteria for being the Messiah that had been prophesied to come. And so he was looking for Jesus, and here he was. And even though he was dead, it's something inside of him says, you know what, I've got to be loyal to this. I need to honor and respect this person's body, and we're going to take care of it. Otherwise, it's going to go to the dung heap. And so he put himself on the line. I'm going to show you here in a second. Look at verse 52. This man went unto Pilate, Pilate being the Roman governor. You know, they didn't get along real well. It wasn't like just walked in and say, hey, Pilate, what's up? You know, no. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, the Sabbath drew on. Letter C. I want you to see the loyalty in the face of fear. Loyalty in the face of fear. Now, this man had something to lose. He's a prominent man in the area. He's got position, he's got power, he's got place. He's actually got money. He's got something to lose. Now, I gave you some scripture there. John 7:40 gives an account about Joseph. It says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, it's a different time, but saith of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ came of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake this like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus, we're going to talk about him in a second, say unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, remember him back in John 3, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee riseth no prophet. Jump right down to the next one, John 19:38. This is talking about the tomb here. And after this, Joseph Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate, and he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with his spices, as a matter of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified was a garden, and the garden a new sepulcher where was never man laid. There they laid Jesus before, because the Jews were preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Now, I read those parts to give you the idea. See, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. But listen, for him to follow Jesus is not a good thing. I mean, you're a traitor. You're a turncoat. And so the same thing would have been for Joseph, being part of the Sanhedrin. If all of a sudden he said, I think this Jesus you're trying to crucify is actually the Messiah we've been waiting for all these years, they're going to see him as a turncoat, a betrayer, a Benedict Arnold, if you will. And so there was some fear that was going to happen here. Look at letter D. Loyalty in the face of embarrassment and discredit. Loyalty in the face of embarrassment and discredit. You could say that he could fear of being disavowed or fear of being discredited. Joseph could have been easily removed from the Sanhedrin, stripped of his honor and his honored position and his power. Could have been. Now, listen, loyalty. Now, when we're doing this, what are we saying? What's it take to try your loyalty? How loyal are you? You know, Merle was talking about Ben Ray and his wife over there in China. Now, he grew up in a family, and he's fairly solid and so forth, but think about those families that he's trying to win. We think we have it difficult. We're embarrassed to get ourselves baptized because somebody's going to see with our hair wet. They could lose their life. How real is your relationship with God? How loyal are you, even when it looks wrong, even when it looks bad, looks like you're on the losing side? Are you loyal to Jesus even when folks are going to look down at you because you're loyal to Jesus? Are you loyal to Jesus when you think you're going to lose a little bit of position, a little bit of power? Letter E, loyalty in the face of financial ruin. Financial ruin. So what does that have to do with? Listen, this could have certainly affected his business dealings and thus his wealth. Listen, we can't deal with Joseph. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah. If someone left the Jewish religion, became a Christian, they would literally have a funeral for that person. Even if it was their own children, they were, "You're dead to me. You no longer exist." I mean, it would be the point where you're not allowed to go do business with them. You're cut off from society. To take this step, I mean, to be seen, to go to Pilate, to put the body in his tomb, a wealthy man. They all knew whose it was. He was loyal in the face of fear. Now, listen, he was a big man, but he had a lot to lose. The loyalty of the elite. Number two, the loyalty of the ladies. Let's go to the other side of the spectrum here. The loyalty of the ladies. Letter A, loyalty in the face of hopelessness. Loyalty in the face of hopelessness. Verse 55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. They kind of watched everything, how they put everything together there. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now these ladies were still loyal to the commandments of God concerning the Sabbath, even though they were grieving over the death of Jesus. But they were being loyal to him as well. Look at letter B. Loyalty in the face of disappointment. Loyalty in the face of disappointment. These ladies went to prepare spices. Why? As if they would for any other dead body. You know what that means? They were not expecting a risen Savior on the third day. They were expecting, why? Listen, if he's going to come alive, we don't have to preserve his body. You need to preserve the body. The fact is, he's dead, he's going to stay dead. That they had followed him, they loved him, they believed what he was saying. And now all of a sudden, it looks like it's all going out the windows, gone up in smoke. Disappointment. And yet, they were loyal to him. They didn't understand what was going on. They just did what they could. They were expecting to see Jesus' lifeless body right where he had been laid. It says they watched and saw how the body was laid and everything. So they could come back and wrap it up in spices later. Yet when everything seemed hopeless and they had been, you could say, abandoned, can you imagine how orphan-like they felt about that point? All their hopes and dreams had been placed in this man, now he's dead. And yet they were faithful. Where were the rest of the disciples? All the ones who swear to stand by him. We had some faithful ladies. Loyal. You know, sometimes, see, we get to live in hindsight of the resurrection. We've seen all this happen. It's all written out here for us. And yet, when it all looks hopeless, are you loyal? Do you stay by his side? Or do you drop him, like the old saying, like a hot potato? Number three, still loyal at the unknown beginning. Still loyal at the unknown beginning. Now let me say what I'm saying here. As far as the ladies were concerned, this is hopeless. But we're going to go back. We're staying loyal to him. to bring the spices, we're going to prepare the body. And we've got to do what the Lord has commanded on the commandments because of the Sabbath. So we've got to wait a couple days here, but you know, we're gonna be loyal. Letter A, loyalty in the face of discouragement. Loyal in the face of discouragement. You know, sometimes we're just disappointed. Things didn't happen the way we thought was going to happen. But discouragement is something that kind of goes on for a time. There's a certain amount of longevity about discouragement. It has disappointment in there, but discouragement stretches out. And the disappointment almost becomes deeper. Now what? Look at our verses there. It goes into Luke 24. It says, now when the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Now can you imagine the heaviness of their hearts during those days of the Sabbath? They left that tomb. Watch where they put the body. And assumed it's all done. He's dead. Next day they wake up. That's right. Jesus is dead, isn't he? Kind of almost dreading the day they're going to have to go. You know, loyal, and at the same time dreading that they're going to have to go back to that tomb. Unwrap that body that had been beaten beyond recognition. Not just opening his wounds, but opening up the wounds in their own hearts. All over again. Revisiting the crown of thorns, the scourging of his body, the nails in his hands and his feet, the thrust of the spear. Revisiting all that. Can you imagine the discouragement? Some say, well, I can be disappointed, but I'm going to follow. But wait a minute, what happens when there's a prolonged disappointment? It's done. And you don't see the end of the tunnel. In fact, the tunnel just gets darker. In fact, it's almost like the end of the tunnel slams shut. He said, I don't know what God's going to do. But see, we live in hindsight of the resurrection. We know that all things are possible with him. Yet these ladies were loyal. They stuck by their Lord. Even when it looked totally lost. They truly believed that Jesus was the Lord, but now he's dead and he's just like any other mortal man. Has all this just been a fairy tale? Can you really trust this thing? Have I wasted my life on some vain philosophy? Are you going to be loyal? In spite of not understanding and possibly thinking that something had gone wrong, the ladies wasted no time getting back to the tomb after the Sabbath. They were still faithful to the Lord, even though they looked like they were supporting a loser. Letter B. Loyalty has its rewards. Loyalty has its rewards. Look at verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Do you realize that much of our disappointment And much of our discouragement is because it was because of our unwillingness to believe the truth. He said he was going to rise again. Look, he said, listen. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, I want to say this, though. These ladies were loyal, and it's proof that they remember the words then. Even when they didn't know, that even they had forgotten, even they had failed to understand the Word of God, I'll tell you what they did do. They gave God the benefit of the doubt. We may not understand all the words of God. We ought to give the Word of God the benefit of the doubt. Stay faithful, even when it all looks dark, it looks like none of it's going to work. It's all been a fairy tale. But there again, listen, faith, we're supposed to just or live by faith. And the fact is, that faith comes from hearing by the Word of God. So often we hear what we want to hear. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll get finished a sermon, and somebody will come up and say, when you said so-and-so in your sermon last week? I said, I didn't say that. Oh, yeah, sure. I didn't say that. But we hear what we want to hear. And sometimes they'll get I'll give a whole message, and then I'll tell some stupid little story, and that's what they remember, And they forgot the rest of the sermon. But the same thing here. They were listening. I'm looking at a bit of a ring there for some reason. They were listening, but they didn't hear the third day part. The disciples were the same thing. They didn't hear the third day part. If they had heard the third day part, they would not have been discouraged all those nights. They would have been waiting with anticipation. It'd be like Christmas Eve as a kid waiting for Christmas morning to come. We do the same thing. My God shall supply all your needs. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Joy comes in the morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When things get black, there's been a couple times in my life where everything was just totally out of my hands. I couldn't do anything if I wanted to. And I'll be honest with you, those have been the times when I've kind of like got excited because I can't wait to see what God's going to do, because he's going to have to do it. Because it's something that I knew that he was going to have to do, something that had to be done, and it's totally out of my hands. And so that's kind of cool, because then I can't mess it up. And I was like, watch God do it. But if we don't know the promises of God, we don't have that great anticipation. But even when we don't even have the great anticipation, are you loyal? You know what? These ladies were there, and they saw the angels. Where's the big 12? 11. Huh? Those that were loyal were there. Those ladies, the ones that were loyal, were there when the action took place. They saw the angels. They heard the promise. Thomas missed out too. He didn't go to church that Sunday night. He didn't assemble with the rest of the believers on Easter Sunday night, and he missed it. You just never know. All those ladies were going to do, listen, the ladies were going to do a very uncomfortable job. Unwrap that body and pack it with spices and ointments But we're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. Because we love him. We're loyal to him. But because they were loyal, they were the ones who saw the angels. Letter C. Loyalty in the face of disbelief and disesteem. This whole passage here was out of Luke. It says, and they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now see, here's the apostles. Why aren't the apostles down there at the tomb? Why weren't they taking care of the body? Why weren't they doing this? Why were the ladies even having to tell them these things? You realize the body of Jesus, in fact, it says that, we read it, that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already put 100 pounds of stuff on him. Why were the men doing this? What about the stone? It's going to be rolled away. They didn't even think about it. All they were doing was thinking about themselves. Verse 11, and the ladies' words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I'm sorry, but it was basically all a bunch of ladies talking. Bunch of emotional women. They got down there and saw some vision, somebody, I don't know what it was. There's a reflection off of something and thought they saw an angel. And they believed them not. And then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Why was he wondering? Didn't have to wonder. It's already been told. Loyalty in the face of disbelief. When you speak of your experience with the Lord, which I hope you do often, and you're not believed, are you still loyal? Do you hang on to it? You don't have to defend it. Just stand. Stand in what you truly believe. It's real easy to be loyal in here. How about the family reunion? How about at the beauty parlor? The nail shop? The grocery store? The gas station? At work? Loyalty in the face of disesteem. That means we're being looked down on. Ah, oh, you bunch of women. Bunch of emotional women. What's the matter with you? I know you're all upset, and I understand that, but come on now. You're seeing things. Oh, you're a Christian. You really believe that stuff. You believe that he rose again. How do you know that? I mean, you can't stand, but you weren't there. Well, they weren't there either. Are you loyal? When everybody else is against you, when everything seems lost, listen, when it looks like all is failing, are you still loyal? When it looks like your faith in the Lord was of no worth. Are you still loyal? When everything appears to be falling apart, are you still loyal? When it seems that the Lord's side is the losing side, are you still loyal? Are you loyal when loyalty makes you look foolish? Are you loyal to him when loyalty makes you look foolish? Are you loyal when you're disappointed in him? Wasn't what I expected. I did all this and did this. This isn't what I expected to come out of this. Hey, Lord, when you're discouraged, are you loyal when you fear of being disowned by someone's important to you? You're going to lose position, kicked out of the family. You don't be mean or nasty. There's folks in this room who know what it feels like to get excited about getting saved, know you're on your way to heaven, and you feel that load lifted off your shoulders, and you go home and tell somebody you love. Family member, a mother, a father, neighbor, somebody, a friend, and they want to take a step back from you? Are you loyal when they make fun of you, disesteemed? Just remember this. The ladies that were loyal were the first to have their loyalty rewarded. At that point in time, they were faithful and loyal, but really couldn't see what they were being faithful and loyal to. They just kept being loyal in spite of so much evidence to the contrary. Are you loyal to the Lord when all seems lost? He's loyal to us. Be loyal to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for speaking to us here this evening.